this promise of the Spirit being with us in power and as God's presence. I chose as a way into this book, this verse, which comes at the very end of the letter, but serves as a summary for the message that Paul is trying so urgently to convince the Galatians of. I mean, if you read the letter, you realize there's a lot of urgency in this letter. He's passionate. And he says at the very end, for neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Now, that's a lot about circumcision. So one may wonder how that is the key into this verse. Let me just say that for circumcision, it was for the Jews at that time and today, the way that they identified themselves as God's people, apart from those who were not yet God's people. It was a way that they set themselves aside so that when God came, he would know who were his people. And this was very important to them. But now the Apostle Paul says that with the coming of Jesus Christ, the way that we come onto God's side, come into his family, is by believing in Jesus himself, by putting our trust in him. And that this is the way that you then become identified as one of God's. You believe in Jesus. So then, neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And when we believe in him, the Spirit comes into our life. Now, at this point, we are going to do another children's feature, because I know we have lots of kids here. So I am going to have you all come up again and sit here, and I want you to be able to see this glass jar. And my very talented wife is going to show you something totally amazing. Yeah. So come forward. Make sure that you can see. I want to see too.
Can you see, Aubrey?
Yeah.
Okay. We are, do you see this? All right. We're going to say that this green food coloring is sin. Now, what is sin? Who knows what sin is? Alicia?
When people do bad things.
Okay. When people do bad things. Any other ideas? Yeah, Vera? Okay, when they break the Ten Commandments, one of the Ten Commandments. Yep, Aubrey?
When they put Jesus on the cross.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so it's anything that we might do that God wouldn't do and that he wouldn't like. Now, wait a minute. I think I have done a lot of things that God doesn't like. I think I have gotten angry sometimes, impatient a lot of times. I've said things I shouldn't. Those are all things that God wouldn't want me to do. I've done lots of them. And who does these bad things? Lachlan?
I do.
You do?
Who else?
Everybody.
Everybody?
Satan.
Ah. Oh, boy. You guys are tricky. Aubrey?
Jesus?
Did Jesus sin? That is an interesting question. Well, let's think about that. Okay. So, let's say this is Carla Peters, and these are the bad things that Mrs. Peters has done. And, yes. Okay, but... When I was seven, how many of you are seven? Okay. When I was 7 years old, I was at Camp Evergreen one time, And I heard a story about how God loves us. And because he loves us, he can forgive our sins. And I knew that I had done many bad things. And so I asked Jesus to forgive my sins. I told him I was sorry for the things that I had done. And I asked him to forgive my sins. And so, I'll add a bit more there. Jesus did that. Did you hear the verse that Pastor Chris said before? He forgave our sins. What verse was that that you used? I forget now too. Anyways, the Bible says that when we confess our sins, Jesus will forgive our sins and cleanse us. And when that happens, God comes to live inside us by his Spirit. So his Spirit comes to live inside me when I ask him to forgive my sins, or any of you. So we're going to say that this top part that's clear here is the Spirit of God living in us. And we call that Spirit holy. Do you know what holy means? Aubrey?
It has no sin.
Yeah, that's a great answer. So do you see how? Now this is really neat if it works here. All these bad things that Mrs. Peters does, that other people do, what's going to happen? I might need a little help here. Do you see how those, the green marks, oh, they skipped this whole first part. They didn't attach to the Holy Spirit, but they're down here. Isn't that neat? So the Spirit is holy. He can't have anything to do with sin. And these are when Mrs. Peters gets angry. You know what, just the other day, one of the things that makes me really mad is when I get hurt. And just the other day, someone clunked me in the head, whomp, right in my glasses, and that really hurts. And I can get instantly mad. But this time, I didn't. Do you know why? Not because I'm a good person, but because the Holy Spirit is inside me. And the Spirit helped me not to get angry. So our actions, when we have the Holy Spirit inside us, our actions are different than when we didn't have the Holy Spirit inside us. Does that make sense? It's all kind of confusing, but that's that. Okay. Isn't that neat? The Holy Spirit is holy, can't have anything to do with sin, and when he's inside us, he helps us. He forgives our sins, and he helps us do things differently than we would have without the Holy Spirit. Okay, now, hold that for a second. Thank you. Okay, so if we are acting differently than how we did before, are people going to notice that? If someone bonks Sydney on the head and she doesn't punch back, are they going to say, wow, she didn't get mad. I wonder why she didn't get mad. Okay, it might have been an accident. Or maybe the Holy Spirit inside you helped you not to get angry, right? If something tricky is happening, and I think, oh, it would be easier to get out of this if I just said a lie. But I don't. I tell the truth instead of telling a lie. I don't do that because I'm a good person. I do that because the Holy Spirit is inside me and helps me do things that are good. It's the Holy Spirit in me Okay. And if... if this is different and people are seeing it, do you think that maybe they might want the same thing that I have inside me? If I'm not getting angry or lying or cheating, or if I have a bad habit and I can break it, because that's really hard, then that maybe somebody will see that and say, hey, I'd like what she has inside her. I'd like that Holy Spirit in me too. Do you think so? Okay, well, now that doesn't happen instantly. But let's see. As Pastor Chris does the rest of his sermon, you watch this and see if maybe some people see you being different and they say, ooh, I'd like to have what Carson has. I'd like to know why Ian didn't get mad. And they come ask you. And then you can tell them about Jesus and how he can forgive their sins and help them.
Very good.
Is that okay?
Well, yes.
Okay. Back to your mentions. Okay, and
so yes, keep an eye on that jar. You can go back to your families. Make sure you can see it. So that's just a really good description of what the new creation is that Paul is talking about at the end of Galatians. We'll learn a lot more about it as we go through the series. I want to say some more about that new creation, but first I want to tell you a story, and you may wonder where I'm going with it, but I want you to be patient because there is a payoff. And I want to tell you about some people that lived back at that time, and they were the Celts or the Celtic people. There were a large number of tribes that lived in the middle of Europe, but as the Roman Empire expanded, it pushed these Celtic peoples more and more to the outside of Europe, and there are still fringes on the very edges of islands in Europe, some of these most beautiful places in Europe, where they still learn the old Celtic languages there. And the people who would most consider themselves Celts would be the Irish, the Scots, and the Welsh. Now, one of the amazing things about these people is that when they heard about Jesus Christ, when they heard about the gospel, they very freely came into the faith. They adopted it as their own. It is a surprising and marvelous way. And one of the reasons they think this may have happened is because the Celtic people in their old pagan religion grouped their gods into threes. So they had three gods, and then they worked together. And so when Christianity came along and talked about the Trinity, that there was three persons in one God, it was not such a big leap for them to say, that makes sense. It's maybe another case where God is preparing people in order to hear the gospel and know what to do when they hear about Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father, and still understand them as one God. It's quite an amazing story. One thing about the Celtic people is that they were they loved beautiful things. And so the stuff that they find from them, their bowls and plates and swords and shields, are just so elaborately designed. And when they came to Christianity almost as a people, they began to make just really beautiful churches and monuments. And here's a picture that Carla herself took. That's an old Celtic church there on the right. And then that cross with the circle is called the Celtic cross. It's just a really old thing, part of a very, very old faith. And they just carved into it all these beautiful designs and made it really beautiful. Certainly, the most beautiful Bible ever made, and maybe the most beautiful book in the world, is the Book of Kells, made by the Celtic people. It is probably a lifetime work for some monk who put that together. It's 800 AD, so closer to the time of Jesus than to us. Someday I would love to go see it. It's in the University of of Dublin. So, and they made several of these beautiful Bibles, and we just don't know how many of them were lost. They loved beautiful things. They also were known, before they became Christians, as mercenaries. So the powerful nations around them would hire these Celtic people in order to be warriors. And Herod the Great, who was the one who chased Jesus, baby Jesus, out of Bethlehem, had a Celtic bodyguard. Cleopatra had a Celtic bodyguard. And the Romans themselves hired thousands of these people in order to fight in their armies. And when they were done, as soldiers had run out their term, they were rewarded by being given land where they could settle and live. That land they then organized into a province and called it Galatia. So here is the map. That is the piece of land in the middle of modern Turkey where they gave Celtic people space in order to be farmers and sheep herders. And then I also marked on the map there Antioch, which was the sending church for two brave missionaries named Paul and Barnabas. And on their first missionary journey, they crossed the sea there and landed on the south part of Turkey and worked their way north and came to these Celtic farmers and began to tell them that there was a man who had come from heaven named Jesus of Nazareth, and that he had lived and died and come back from the dead in order to show that he was a great Lord, and that if anyone believed in him, he would become their Savior, forgive their sins, and be their good Lord and Master. And the Celtic people in Galatia accepted this as their own faith, and it is considered that these were the first non-Jewish people to become Christians and start their churches. I just think it's a great story, and it's connected with the book of Galatians that we are going to be looking at. As we dig into Galatians, we will see that Paul gives a passionate defense about the original gospel. And the reason is that after Paul and Barnabas went through Galatia preaching the gospel, they were followed up by Jewish teachers who came in and said, yes, that's very good that you believed in this, but there's more that you need to do. You need to eat the right foods. You need to follow the right holidays. You need to become circumcised. And the Galatians thought about this and they said to themselves, well, in every other religion that we know, and in the religion that we came out of, it makes sense that you've got to do something difficult and hard in order to get God's attention, in order to prove yourself to God, in order to climb to so that you're worthy of God's, of being one of God's. And so they were confused about this and they thought, well, maybe we do need to do that sort of stuff. And so Paul writes to them and he says, that is not the way of the Christian God. He has forgiven you without you doing anything in order to prove yourself. And that spirit that he has given you and put inside you and which you know is enough for the rest of your life. It will bring you to maturity and life and joy like as no other thing can do. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but this new life. I sense in my reading and in talking to people that Christianity is often perceived as about being a good person. Some will turn away thinking, I'll never be as good as that. Or others will turn away and think that, well, I'm as good as any Christian I know, therefore I don't need Jesus Christ. But as we will see in Galatians, there are not standards of behavior that we must achieve in order to arrive at the place where we get in good with God. That's not the way it is. So circumcision does not count for anything. But neither does uncircumcision. As if to say, well, if it doesn't matter, then it doesn't matter whether I'm a good person or not. God forgives me. I can live as I please because that's just the way that the gospel is. And right in the middle of Galatians, in the midst of all this business about following the law, Paul then says this: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So it is not about following the law, but it is also not about not following the law. It is about new creation. And discovering what that new creation is the key to understanding how it is, what it is that Jesus is offering us through the Spirit. Some characteristics of this new creation. It has as its character the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That is from the book of Galatians. That is there. It is an act of life. It is a creation that has purpose and a mission. It is not the rejection of this world. It is its redemption. And on our own, we are so locked into this old world that the only way we can understand the new creation that is coming and live in it is to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into it. It also says that in order to get into it, it is not by a matter of ascent in which we climb our way up to the place where God notices us to do better and better, have a greater reputation, popularity, friends, knowledge, all these things, and that we climb up in order to have God recognize and call us his own. It says in at least three places in Galatians that the way into this new creation is through crucifixion. And that is a big, heavy word. And next week, I will hope to do a better explanation of what it means when Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So it has to be that in order to come into this new creation, we have to put all the old assumptions about what makes me superior, what makes me good, I've got to have that die in order that I can come into the life that Jesus wants for me. Instead of ascending up the mountain in order to get to the peak and have God notice me, there is a matter in which you got to get down on your hands and your knees and you got to crawl into the new creation and then get up and receive the Spirit on the other side. There is that in coming in faith. There is a humility part to it. The new creation is not something so new that it has nothing to do with this world. It is the redemption of the world. It is characterized by the fruit of the Spirit. And I know that there are many people who show good evidence of the things that I listed off: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. But as Carla put it in her object lesson, what really shows up the new creation that God is building inside his people is that when we are able to do these things against the expectations of the world, when we are able to love when the world gives us every permission to hate, when we are able to rejoice when the world gives us every expectation to despair, when we are at peace when the world gives us every reason to be stressed, when we wait patiently when the world urges us to do something desperate, when we are kind when the world says it's perfectly okay to hurt, when we are gentle when the world expects us to lower the boom, when we are faithful when the world gives us permission to leave, when we are good when the world no longer even recognizes what the good is, when we practice self-control when the world is trying to work us up into a frenzy. That is when the new creation is most evident, and it is to these things, at those times when they're not expected, that the Spirit is most evident. That is when we are walking by the Spirit. That is when we are living in the new world. And let me say that this new world is the thing that you and I were designed for. It satisfies us at our deepest place. We want it. We want its strength, its courage, its love, and its power in us. We want it to shape us and mold us. We want that Holy Spirit to make in us the kind of people that God intended us to be from the beginning. That is what Paul is saying to the Galatians. Not by your works, not by the things that you do, but by walking by the Spirit. Then you will know his power and his love. Father in heaven, we are filled with all sorts of wrong things inside us, and we don't want them there. We do want to be cleaned. We want to be healed. And it is your great gift of the Holy Spirit inside us that is shaping and cleansing us. And we ask that we would be so attentive to that Spirit working in us that all of us here would know its power in us, that it would set aside the fears and the doubts and anxieties and worries that cause us so much stress, that cause us so much pain inside, in order that we might know the Spirit's comfort and his joy. Lord, let us walk in your way, the way given to us by Jesus. And we pray these things in his name. Amen.
Would you stand and worship with us again?
Shining.